But I'm excited because God actually downloaded this to me a couple weeks ago and really encouraged me. And I've just been kind of marinating in it for the last couple weeks. And I just want to say, before even Claire was talking about the foundation of the world, you know, and she's been kind of talking about that because they're in Genesis. It was before that. And so every week and every time she's talking about it, and I'm just like, whoa, I'm just getting marinated. And so I really feel like it's an important, something really important that he wants us to understand and get. And it's very timely. And it basically started because I did go ahead and read Ephesians. So I did because I'm taking care of the kids most of the time. So I'm back in the back with the children. And so I kind of read ahead in Galatians. And then I got to Ephesians early and got stuck in chapter 1. So you just wait, guys, because if you haven't read it yet, oh my gosh, in the Passion, it's amazing. And so I will try to just, you know, give you like the smallest amount because I know you got a lot, you know, you want to be able to talk about it on Wednesday, and I don't want to take too much from that. But I will share a little bit of what God's has been saying to me. So this is Ephesians 1:5. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. In 1:9, and through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unveiling purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time, until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it's so good. His unfolding plan, his perfect plan, it's an unfailing plan. It's a long-range plan. And he executed this plan through Jesus Christ. And where's Jesus? He's in us. Before the beginning of time, God had a plan. He spoke the plan, and it began and has been unfolding through every period of time. He set the plan in motion, and he puts the plan into every single one of us, like a seed. He puts the plan into us. Just as a baby, and Claire was preaching this morning in the prayer room, and I was like, really, Claire? She was basically preaching the message that he gave me. But just like a baby comes together and forms into a person, the earth is coming together and becoming more and more like Jesus, little by little, season by season, closer and closer to his likeness. That's what's happening. It's unstoppable. This is such good news, guys. It's unstoppable. It will happen. There's nothing that's going to stop it. Nothing can stop. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop his coming. Nothing. Not even you, not even me, not my screw-ups, not your screw-ups. None of our imperfections are going to stop this plan. And last summer, some of you heard me talk about this, but I was learning a lot about the cells in our body. So here's the science part for you guys, okay? So we are made up of 50 trillion cells, okay? We are a community of cells. Every cell is intelligent, but when they're in a group, they give up their intelligence and respond to the central voice in order that they become an organism. So a cell has to follow a central voice. Cells are like batteries. They have a positive and negative charge. If you put cells in a petri dish and you put some nutrients in there, the cells will move towards the positive nutrients. They'll move towards the what's good. If you put toxins into that petri dish, they'll move away from those signals, the negative signals. They'll close themselves down. So cells are either moving towards growth or they are protecting themselves. They can't be open and closed at the same time. It's either one or the other, or it's just a state of rest. So, but here's the kicker. This is what really just hit me, and it has been ever since. Scientists used to think that there was something wrong in a cell, that there was something wrong with the cell, or some kind of message it was getting from within that was making something go wrong, that was making it cause it to be diseased or get sick or whatever. But they've figured out that it's not coming from within the cell. It's coming from a message that the cell is perceiving. So it's whatever messages that the cell is getting that it causes it to either move towards growth or away from whatever's frightening it and causing it to cower and, you know, get into a position of, I need to protect myself, okay? So it's the messages from the outside. The central voice it's hearing. What is it hearing and what is it perceiving to be true? And there's proof of this because of, you know, the placebo effect. You guys have heard of the placebo effect when, you know, people get a sugar pill and they get better. It's because they believe they're going to get better. Their thoughts are, yep, I've got the medicine, I'm going to get better. They're giving themselves the message, it's time to heal, and they heal. If we would just even get that little bit and understand the power of our thinking, we could do so much damage to the enemy. And our body is making new cells all the time. But when the cells get into like a protection mode, we don't make any more new cells. We don't make the cells while we're protecting ourselves, which is, you know, our immune systems need the new cells to protect the body, right? And so when we're in that mode, we cannot heal. If we stay in that protection mode too long, we're not able to defend ourselves, right? So is this making sense to you? Cells are made to grow and be healthy. We are made to grow and be healthy. Cells are moving towards health. They're always moving towards health. They move towards love. They move towards the positive force. Love is the driving force that moves them to grow, that moves them towards life. And if there's something that's, you know, there's fear messaging going on, then our cells are going to move away from the cells are perceiving to be bad, right? So a state of fear and protection is okay for a short bit of time, but you can't stay there. If they stay there too long, then that's when the body starts to break down. So if you put cells in the right environment with the right messages in that environment, they will automatically just heal themselves. You know, it's there. It's in the cell already to do its job, to make it, to move towards growth. That's what it's made to do. It's made to heal itself. So fear has to be removed, or else the cells will spend their time in defense mode instead of heal or growth mode. So the earth is the same on a giant scale. But we are the living cells. We are the living cells to the earth. God put his message inside of us to heal the earth and everything on it. He put his plan inside of each of us at the very beginning. Jesus was in that first word, right, Claire? In that first word. He's in that first word that was spoken. The plan was spoken in that first word. He put it in motion. It's constantly unfolding. There's nothing that can stop it. Just as you can't stop a kid from growing up. You know, you try, you're like, stop, you're growing too fast. We are going to grow up into Jesus. This is the good news. We are growing up into Jesus, and he is faithful to complete this. This is Philippians 1:6. I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful to complete it. And I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase beyond measure, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all becoming pure and without offense until the unveiling of Christ. That's Philippians 1:9. John 1:1-5. In the very beginning, the living expression was already there, and the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things, for nothing has existence apart from him. Life came into being because of him, for his life is light for all humanity. And this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom, the light that darkness could not diminish. So, those are good, aren't those good? So no matter what is going on around us, no matter what the world is saying right now, what the messages are, what it looks like, his light is not going to diminish. It's going to burst through continually and constantly, and it cannot be stopped. We really need to get a hold of this right now. This is, you know, this is what's going to carry us through this next season. And, you know, Ephesians, in that verse in New King James, the one I read at the beginning, which is the first chapter. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and we should be holy and without blame before him. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So, you know, some people take that verse and twist it and, you know, remove all the responsibility from us and how we're supposed to respond to the plan that he put in, the unfolding plan that is unstoppable. Just because the plan was set in motion and he already chose us before in the beginning of time, and he's going to do it, we can't just sit back and enjoy being chosen. That's not our job. So that word predestined, it means to mark out beforehand, to establish one's boundary or one's limits beforehand. And it's actually, our English word horizon comes from that Greek word, which is pretty cool. So God marked us out beforehand to be just like his son and to be adopted into his family. And he gives us that option. He gives each and every one of us that option. I believe everybody has that option. So we, Gabrielle was talking about getting on the train last week, you know. Choo-choo. She was choo-chooing all aboard. Yeah, we have the choice to jump on board, right? And I think all of us have that choice to live our life fully in Christ. Just like a cell has written on it the call to grow, each of us has written into our code, our beginning, the ability to grow up into Jesus. We all have the potential, every single one of us. And we learned a lot about, we read through Caroline Leaf's books last year. And she says, you've been wired for love, and fear is a learned response, not a natural response. The choices you make today not only impact your spirit, soul, and body, but can also impact the next four generations. He gave us the power to choose life and death. We make that choice every day. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. That's what he's saying. Oh, choose life. Just because that plan is set doesn't mean we can sit back and just choose nothing and choose to just, you know, sit around. We have full responsibility to carry it out. We are his living cells, and he gives us each a job to do. We are called to rise up into Jesus, our big brother. And we're either furthering God's message or we're furthering the enemy's message. There's two ways, life or death, love or fear. And he put us his message into all of us. We got to unwrap it, though. You know, it's there. We got to unwrap it. It's inside us. He's waiting for you to unwrap it. He wants you to unwrap it. And he's got great plans for you. He wants you to take it in. And as you take it in, you'll become more like him. Just like Brenda was talking about. She said about the cross, how we become the cross. That's what you said. We become more like him. We become his message. That's what happens. We become his message. So much so that we don't have to try. It just happens naturally. The key is, just like a cell needs good messages to keep in health and keep at peace and growing, we need to keep that central message. We need to keep it at the center of our lives. And we are responsible for what we take in. We are responsible to eat the message. You know, we have to eat it. We got to eat it like applesauce, I always say. Keep his message around you at all times, right? We got to keep it around us so that we become his message. You can't become him if you're hanging out in the world and just taking in all the messages that the world is giving you. You cannot, you're not going to become like him. You'll become like the world. And that's why we have to separate ourselves. That's why he's calling us right now to get out of the world. It's no joke. So, but it's not about, you know, trying to be perfect and trying to work hard to make it happen. The do of religion, the do. It's the BBB. We want a BBB, you know. Be with him. Nobody likes the do. A fruit tree doesn't try hard to make its fruit, right? The fruit is already written inside the seed. We've been learning in our science class about seeds, and it's already in there. It's crazy how that little tiny seed will become a giant tree. The tree's job is just to, you know, put its leaves towards the sun and take the nutrients from the ground that it's planted in. Get the nutrients from the ground. A tree can't stand next to another tree and expect, like, to grow, you know? A tree has to dig its own roots. A tree has to take in the sun for itself in order to get the strength to be able to bear its own fruit. We have to take in the right messages. So our responsibility is to get to know Jesus. That's our job. That's your job. That's your purpose, really, in life. Get to know Jesus. That's it. If we would just, okay, that's my job. Everything else will line up. It will all line up if you just do that. Just do that. You know, you can't become like someone if you don't hang out with them. You can't, you have to get to know them. You have to listen to them. You have to sit with them. And yes, there's a sacrifice in that. There is, but it's so worth it. The central message has to become our central message. His central message has to become our central message, you know. And I can tell you this, I can tell my kids this. I can give them advice. But until what I know, until they take it in for themselves, they're not going to become it. It's not going to be their truth. You have to do it yourself. You have to do the work. You have to receive the word until it becomes you. And it will. Because you can't stop it. You can't. It has to go deep down, though. It's got to go down to the core of your being, like a tree grows deep, deep, deep down, and then it comes back up. All the, you know, you take in the stuff, and then it comes back up. But growing does take time. Now, another thing about cells that is very interesting is how stress, a stressful thing hinders the growth. I talked about that, how the cell is moving away from fear, or when there's like a stressful environment. When cells are under stress, they shut off certain functions so that they can go into fight or flight. How many of you guys heard fight or flight mode? You know, when something really nasty's coming, your body like tenses up and goes into, all right, we got to save the world mode, you know, for a second. So, but a lot of us are living in that all the time, and we're just in a tense state of stress. We don't want it. Three effects of stress: growth gets shut down, our immune system gets turned off, and stress causes us to use our reflex behavior instead of conscious reasoning. So blood is actually pumped into our backs to help us with the reflex behavior instead of in the front of our brains. So we are actually making ourselves less intelligent when we stay in a state of stress. Isn't that crazy? The three things. Claire wants me to repeat the three things. Growth gets shut down. Immune system turns off. And the blood gets pumped into our backs to help us with the reflex behavior instead of the front of our brains. So we're making ourselves less intelligent by staying in that state of stress. But just removing the stress is not the only answer. And a lot of times we can't, right? We're in environments where it's like, right now, I mean, we can't. We can't remove it. We can't do anything about it except pray, you know? Well, what do the scientists say? They put in the petri dish, they put in nutrients, and it causes the cells to move towards growth again. So it's not just the absence of stress, but it's the addition, adding joy and love and peace, and just keep adding it to our to our diets. And as we take it in, the right message will start changing our environments, and the fear will have to leave. This is a prescription, guys. Here's your prescription for today. Take the Jesus pill. The kingly pill, yes. But you got to keep adding it in. And this is one of the reasons why we need to come to church, why we need to be around each other. because we need a constant diet of joy and love. We need each other to help us to keep in a position of growing. I mean, you know, when somebody is isolating themselves, you know, it's like, you know, that they're hurting themselves by doing that. And it's painful, but we need to help each other to come out of the protection mode and get back into the growth mode. You know, when we were overseas in Bosnia was 4 years, Caleb? Here he is. This is one of my favorite stories. We did not have church. So we got a taste of what it's like to be without it. And it was awful. It was so hard. We had to, you know, I mean, in a good way, we had to learn how to feed ourselves. So we did. But it was still really, really tough. And I remember those times that we would drive really far away. We drove 18 hours one time to go to a meeting. Crazy to Switzerland. But I just remember how it felt and just the fresh drink that we would get when we would go to these things, or even just be in a small little prayer meeting with just a few people, and it was like, ah, it's drinking. It was like fresh, like in a fresh drink in the desert or whatever, you know? And so when we came off the field, we kind of went all in, which we're still on all in, but to church, and our kids weren't used to it because it had been 4 years and we weren't going to church every week. But we were going to church 5 times a week at this point. We were like, we're taking it all. I don't know. I mean, whatever you got, we're taking it. We were there constantly and dragging our kids, dragging them. And one day Caleb says to me, like 5, why do you keep going to church? Don't you already know what God is like? Yeah, apparently not. Because if we all did, we would not, the whole world would be different, right? If we really knew what he was all about and we actually believed every word he said. But we don't, and we need to keep growing. We need our living cells and to be put into the right environments, to be putting us towards growth and towards health and towards healing. And I think the church is beginning to get it. I think, you know, it feels like it anyway. We're beginning to see the rumblings of the little spillovers. But, you know, when the body's under stress, what happens? You get dumb. That's what Ralph says. You get dumb. What happens? You get sick, right? You get sick. And our body has to go to war to make it right. So the entire body jumps in to fight the whole body. It just, all the systems come together and they're fighting to make the body right again. And, you know, we might need to do that. It's happened in the past. It's the body going to war and making things better. And then, you know, we just keep moving forward, and God's message keeps moving forward and keeps unfolding. And we might have a battle ahead of us. I don't know. But it's the same thing on the earth. There's a battle for the right message. There's a battle for the truth. And it's really powerful when a whole group of people have the same thoughts. It's powerful in the positive, and it's powerful in the negative. You cannot have a war without a large group of people believing the same thing. It won't happen. It has to be a large group of people that are going to try to do something or whatever. So what does a body do when it has an invader? Yeah, but what does it do? Damien said it this morning. Gets really hot. The cells get really, everything gets really hot. turns up the heat to kill the invaders. It turns up the heat. Right? That's what we need to do. We need to get fired up because we want the right message of love and joy. We need to get fired up in love, fired up in joy, and anchor ourselves, fasten ourselves to the truth, the right message, this crazy unfolding plan that you cannot stop. It's a liberating message. It's a freedom message. We already have it. It's already been written. The plan has already been written. It's already set in motion. We can join it or not. I want to join it. I'm in the plan. I want to be in the plan. We are already the winners. We've already defeated the enemy, but we just need to believe it. And it's okay to be afraid, you know, when there's a war, right? Or like a battle that we're thinking about. Because I know, I'll admit, I'm like, what? Why is he talking about war? Stacy was talking about war a few weeks. I'm like, I think we're already in the war, though, honestly. Yes, I know, right? But we have to feed ourselves love and joy, right? And stay in his message. Because he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And I want to finish with this. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Because we did have one more song, but I told them, hey, let's sing it at the end so we can all just, I don't know, just glean in some more of his presence in worship. So, God wanted to end all doubt and confirm it even more forcefully to those who would inherit his promises. His purpose, this is Hebrews 6. His purpose was unchangeable, so God added his vow to the promise. So it is impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. That's what we can do when we're afraid. We can run into his heart and hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold, and where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. He is now and forever our royal priest, like Melchizedek. He's leading us. Jesus, our priest, Jesus, our big brother, and we are going to be just like him. Amen. Okay, let's worship.
Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the season change, your love remains, your love remains. Though the seasons change, your love remains, your Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seeds, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seeds, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seeds, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. Though the season
We just thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that nothing can stop this unfolding plan. Nothing can stop your plan. We thank you that you have grafted us and adopted us and included us in that. You're awesome, God. You're awesome. A couple quick things in worship team. Can we maybe just sing... Those Who Trust, and yeah, so I'm gonna have them get ready to sing Those Who Trust. We just want to end with some joy. One of the reasons that we did the simple church thing this morning is because we have a lot going on in the fall, and especially this week, and we want to make sure you're included, that you're reminded. So Wednesday night, 6:30, come to Bible study. Thursday, 10 a.m., ladies' prayer. Friday, 6 a.m., men's prayer. Friday night, we have our potluck at the Hollies. Saturday night for Halloween, we are going to be in this room worshiping. We're taking out the chairs. They're going to be in a big circle. It's going to be a really fun participatory worship, celebration, declaration, intercession time. We're going to do the same thing Sunday morning, and then we're going to pray again Monday night for the election, and then Tuesday we are going to vote for righteousness. We're going to vote for righteousness. So we are in a battle. We have spiritual weapons. We are going to be fighting, and the weapon that the enemy can do nothing about is joy. Joy, joy, joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to get into the Lord's joy. So as we sing this song, as we close out, I want to bless you if you need to go, but I want to encourage you, grab a flag, dance, run around, whatever, pray for your neighbor, just get into the joy of the Lord. He's excited, he's not afraid, he's not stressed out, he's hopeful, and he can't wait for tomorrow. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.
Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved. Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved. Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not, they will not be moved. Though the world moves like man, your Lord are faithful. Jesus, you will not be changed. Those who trust in the Lord as Mount Zion, they will not be moved. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, they will not be moved. Jesus, you will not be changed. Christ the King sets my feet on a firm foundation. They will not be moved. Christ the King sets my feet on a firm foundation. They will not be moved. Though the world moves like mad, you, O Lord, are faithful.
You, O Lord, are faithful.
Jesus, you will not be changed. To trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved. Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved. Though the world moves like mad, you, O Lord, are faithful.
You, O Lord, are faithful.
Jesus, you will not be changed.